One of the greatest gifts for me as a priest is that every day of my life, I have the opportunity to hold Jesus in my hands. I am given the privilege and the responsibility that whenever I pray these words, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which is given for you," at that moment, the Eucharistic Lord is made real. I was ordained a Catholic priest on May the 25th in the year 2013. And at that time, the bishop did something that it's taken me a number of years to truly appreciate its significance. As part of my ordination, he took the oil of chrism and he poured it on my hands, and I rubbed my hands together, and then he wrapped a cloth around my hands so that they were pressed like this. And because of the fullness of that day and everything that had happened to my life in the course of a year where so many significant changes had taken place, I don't think on that day I truly appreciated the significance of that liturgical act. That act where the bishop did something where my hands became consecrated hands. And for them to become consecrated hands is that I realize more and more the most amazing thing that Jesus has given me, this gift. For you see, my hands become a living monstrance. For the monstrance, as you know, is that beautiful expression of our faith, that thing, the stand that we put on the altar and our Lord is placed in there so he can be shown to the world. But at every Mass, my hands become that monstrance. Particularly when, after consecration, I as a priest hold up the Eucharistic Lord and I say, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb." The Eucharist is at the very heart of our Catholic faith. And at the very heart of our Catholic faith is the words from today's Gospel. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." This is called Christmas because this is Christ's Mass. And at this Mass, we always read this Gospel year in, year out, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennia after millennia. This Gospel has been read on this day at this time. And how important it is for us as Christian people to celebrate the truth of the Word made flesh, to recognize the gift of the Mass. But I want to share something with you that is a beautiful thing that St. John does. When he says in our English translation that the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, the Greek word actually means he tabernacled amongst us. Tabernacle. What a beautiful word. Over here to my left is the tabernacle at St. Peter's Church. And every Catholic church in every city, in every country around the world has a tabernacle. Why? Because of John 1:14. He tabernacled among us. And as we think about our Lord coming in this way to pitch his tent, I know how important this is for me to consider. Now think about the following with me. Every day, regardless of the physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual state I am in, the Lord is dwelling among us. Those days when I celebrate Mass with fervor and a deep awareness of the Lord's presence, Jesus is made present right in front of us. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. I don't always have that fervor every day when I celebrate Mass. There are those days when I celebrate Mass and I am heavy-hearted, I am distracted, I am worried by many things, and I even struggle with believing in God's loving goodness. But thanks be to God, my feelings don't dictate whether or not I say Mass. It's my vocation, it's my calling, it's my responsibility, it's my life. And so on those days, I also want to celebrate the wonderful truth that the Word is made flesh, dwelling right here on the altar, regardless of how Jonathan Gibson happens to be feeling on that day. Jesus tabernacles. He pitches his tent in our midst, regardless of how I'm doing, regardless of how you are doing. He is always here. Now, I've been thinking a lot about that idea this week, and I just want to share with you why this is so important for me, and I hope you might resonate with what I'm about to say. You see, in a world like this, I can be so unsettled by the events that engulf our times, by the interior struggle with sin, and at times the overwhelming accusation of the enemy's lies, that it makes it very hard for me to hear the word of Jesus. The enemy, the devil, wants to discourage me. He wants to defeat me. And he particularly wants to do that with priests, because if he can get us down, then he's got us exactly where he wants us. And so, in the midst of those kinds of struggles, I need to turn to the one who is constant and true. I need to hear from Jesus, the Word, who orientates and directs my life. But how hard it can be for me to hear the Word, because it's as small as a baby in a Bethlehem manger. That word can seem inaudible when compared with a cacophony of voices that want to drown out the voice of the Word made flesh. The voice of skepticism, the voice of defeatism, the voice of accusation, the voice of criticism, the voice of anxiety, the voice of doubt, the voice of unbelief, the voice of hopelessness, the voice of despair. Now you might wonder, Father, how did you come up with that list? Well, let me tell you how I came up with it. I hear all of these voices when people come to confession. All of them. In one form or another. And with some people, I'll hear that voice two or three times. And then, if I'm really honest with you, I hear those voices when I go to confession. That's why I know this list. Because it's my list. It's my struggle. And it's yours too. It's ours. But this is the beautiful thing about Christmas Day. On Christmas Day, the baby in the manger, the one whose voice seems to be so quiet in comparison with these very, very loud voices that want to overwhelm us, he wants to say to us that all of those voices I have just mentioned are not the authentic voice. They are the voice of the deceiver. They are the voice of the accuser. They are the voice of the devil. And yes, the Catholic Church believes that the devil is real, he is personal, and he wants to destroy us. He wants us to be our inauthentic self. But as we learn to listen to Jesus Christ, the authentic voice, we're told in Hebrews this remarkable truth that this Jesus is the one who sustains the whole of the universe by his word. That is to say, that Jesus Christ is the one who not only helped in the beginning to create the universe, but it's only because of Jesus that you and I can be here today. If Jesus did not sustain the universe, we would not be alive. And listen to those beautiful words at the beginning of John's gospel. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Now, this is a really, really hard thing that I'm about to say, and many people do not believe it to be true. Many Catholics struggle with this teaching. But here's what our Mass will say to us today. It makes this staggering declaration that the one hidden in the Eucharist, the one who I will elevate in a few minutes, this one, the one who dwells, abides in our tabernacle, is the one through whom the Big Bang originated. He is the word that allows you and me to have life this very minute. Do you believe this to be true? This is the very heart of Catholic teaching. For 2,000 years, this is what the Church has taught. And in a particular way, it was articulated by one of the most brilliant and most gifted theologians of our tradition, St. Thomas Aquinas. And yet it's hard for us to believe this to be true. Because how is it possible that God would be so willing to humble himself, to make himself so little, to come to us, to tabernacle, to dwell with us in the Mass? And here's the thing. He did this because of what his purposes are for our life. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux reflected on the littleness of Jesus in the Mass, in the Eucharistic presence, when she said, "A God who's willing to become so small could only be mercy and love. A God willing to become so small could only be mercy and love." And those who are growing, and this is an ongoing conversion in our lives for me and for you, for those of us who have come to a greater realization of the small one who is the Word, then we can take to heart these words from today's gospel. "He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God." To be born of God is to have the deepening realization that while we have to live in this world and all of what that means for our daily lives, we are ever more fully to recognize and to realize that what governs and orientates my life here below is the life from above, heaven coming down to earth. Another translation of this passage from John 1 puts it this way. It's very poetic. "But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, and would do what he said, he made them to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten." Don't you want to be your true self? Don't you long for that more than anything else in the world? To be your true self is to come to a point of a celebrating of an acceptance of who I am and who I am becoming in Christ. And it's to learn more and more to say no to the lies, to those voices that want to defeat us, that deceive us, and want to overwhelm us. And at the heart of all of this is because of what the Catechism so beautifully expresses in this one simple sentence. "The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature, so that he, made man, might make men and women gods." That he who was made man might make men and women gods. Now, at first thought or hearing of this, you might think, that is blasphemous. It sounds like the Catechism is saying that Christ became a man so that we can become divine persons, that we can become gods, almost as is taught in Mormonism. But that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we become divine persons. It means that we become partakers of the divine nature. We become partakers of the immortality of God. And that's what happens whenever we receive the Eucharist, the immortal one. We take him into ourselves. We become participants in the goodness of God, the life of God, the love of God. We become sharers in all of that. And we truly become sons and daughters of God. In our faith, we see that the exchange of love that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is an exchange of love that we can, not perfectly in this world, but it partially experience. We will fully know it in the beatific vision, when we will stand in the presence of love, love himself. And if you think that this language is a little bit dramatic, maybe, Father, you're going over the top. Listen to these words that are said at every Mass, when the priest takes the wine and pours a little bit of the water and mingling the wine and the water together. This is called a private prayer, so you don't hear the priest say it. But at every Mass, I say these words. "By the mingling of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity." At the beginning of this Mass, we prayed a prayer called the Collect, which collects the thought for this Mass. And listen to how today's Collect exactly mirrors the words I just said. "O God, we pray that we may share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Do you know what that means? Jesus heard the voice of the accuser, the one who wanted to defeat him. Jesus heard all of those voices of the liar, but he's without sin in part because he never allowed himself to give in and to capitulate to the devil's lies. And what Jesus wants for you and for me this Christmas, the beauty of Christmas is this wonderful truth that as the Word is made flesh in the Eucharist, Jesus wants to be made flesh in your life, your life, your life, your life, my life, our life. That's what it's all about as we share in his divine nature. This is so that his grace at work in our lives can help us to listen ever more to his voice, the authentic voice that allows us to become authentic men and women. Jesus longs for you. Jesus longs for you to hear him. May we discover that the one the priest elevates in the Mass is the hidden one who comes all the way down from heaven to earth. He is the Word made flesh so that we can all be drawn up to where he is in heaven. I invite you this day to allow him ever more room into your life, to be made flesh for you. And may Jesus Christ bless you this Christmas day.